In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our text for this morning is the Beatitudes, and we notice right away that these are not words spoken to the crowds in general, but are addressed to those who were Jesus' disciples already for their instruction and for their comfort. Dearly loved by God in Christ, disciples by the call of the Holy Spirit. What child appreciates hand-me-downs? You know, the oldest child wears a piece of clothing for a while, and then they hand that piece of clothing down to the next child so that he or she can wear it, and so forth on down the line. At the same time, maybe that piece of clothing that the older child is wearing is something that is attractive and desirable, and the younger child really can't wait till the older child hands it down. There might be some reticence or hesitation about those kinds of hand-me-downs, but I don't generally hear about that same kind of reticence and hesitations when it comes to another kind of hand-me-down, our inheritance, especially if that inheritance is a large sum of money. You may have to wear hand-me-down clothing for a while, but in the end, great is the reward. Jesus' Beatitudes are about hand-me-downs and about inheritance. Jesus lists the blessings that we disciples, the younger brothers and sisters, have that were first worn by our older brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus' first disciples during his ministry. The unbelieving world may consider those hand-me-downs that we have received from them as being time-worn and ugly, but we know what they are, and we are glad and happy that they have handed them down to us. And we're happy to wear them with them because we're all in the family of God, our Heavenly Father. And we know that they have already received that great reward of their inheritance, and that same inheritance awaits us. These hand-me-downs include spiritual humility, grief over transgressions, exhibiting mercy and purity of life, being persecuted and being insulted because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Through the Spirit, we recognize these things as great things to wear, and we trust that one day we will inherit our great reward in heaven. Jesus is not speaking here about ways to become disciples. In other words, if through your own efforts you become these things, then you can become disciples of Christ. Jesus is describing blessings that he gives, that he, through the Holy Spirit, creates by his authority and by his compassion when he calls us to discipleship. This isn't a how to become disciples. This is a what you are and what we have as disciples. We can expect the blessings we share with those who have gone before us in the kingdom of God. They are blessings that are perfectly good. And they are blessings that lead to a great reward in heaven. The Beatitudes picture, first of all, Jesus' disciples as receiving all blessings from Him in total passivity. He just gives them to us when He calls us to be His own. But they also speak about putting us into motion, to that motion of God which acts in our lives. We move so vigorously and so decisively as Jesus' disciples that we can fully expect to suffer the persecution and the insults and the sufferings that they endured and as Jesus endured. An ungrateful, proud, and selfish child will despise new clothes, let alone hand-me-downs. And you and I know, don't we, that our hearts, by nature, are selfish, that they're ungrateful, that they're proud. We are not, by nature, the kinds of children who want to get from someone else what they hand down to us. And that's why we pray with David, isn't it? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. To be those grateful and appreciative children who recognize and enjoy the blessings of those hand-me-downs that we have received from those disciples who have gone before us in the kingdom of God is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. Entirely the doing of the Spirit through the means of grace. These blessings that we wear, that we have received, these great rewards that we expect to inherit appear as Jesus gives them in two units. The first four Beatitudes serve as a unit. In that unit, Christ is promising to those who have nothing and need everything that He will provide everything that we need, that He will answer our every need. The second four Beatitudes, including the last two, blesseds, open our view to the last judgment. They open our vision to see that final day when God will give us that eternal reward in heaven, either when we die or when Jesus returns. Here is the summary of the first four Beatitudes. They will be filled. And here's the summary of the second four. They will see God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What are these articles of hand-me-downs that you and I inherit from our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us? Well, the first group includes these. People who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Again, wearing these hand-me-downs, the unbelieving world looks at us like a bunch of ragamuffins. They look at us like a bunch of people dressed in rags. And they ask questions like, who wants to wear repentance and grief over breaking God's commandments? Who would want to wear a willingness to set aside myself and serve someone else? which is what meekness really is. Why would one want to crave the righteousness and holiness of another when my own righteousness is perfectly good and wonderful? The second group includes those who are merciful, pure in heart, are peacemakers, and who are persecuted, insulted, and suffer all kinds of evil because of your connection to me. Again, the world asks in disbelief, why show mercy? That's weakness. Why worry about purity of heart? Who cares about motivation as long as the results are what you want? Making peace? That's nonsense. It's a lot better to get even and to seek revenge. Who would want to be persecuted, insulted, and suffer all kinds of evil? Such thoughts are completely foreign to the world. By God's grace, by the authority and compassion of Christ, you and I look upon those hand-me-downs as wonderful blessings. We look upon that final day when we're in heaven as our great reward of His grace for having endured those difficulties through life, as our older brothers and sisters did, and as our brother, Jesus Christ, did Himself. As an example of what He's talking about, Jesus points His disciples to the prophets, the Old Testament prophets who were all of these things and persecuted and were persecuted and suffered, and who at this time were now enjoying their great reward in heaven because they didn't turn away from God. They didn't turn away from His Word. Listen again to Jesus' promise to you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here's an example. There was a king of the northern kingdom of Israel named Jehu. And God sent the prophet Elisha to him to help him realize some wrong things he was doing and to call him to repentance. And when Elisha spoke of those to the king, one of Jehu's associates asked this question about Elisha: why did this madman come to you? Well, so much for respect for God's representatives and for God's Word. Martin Luther said this about the Beatitudes and about the prophets, quote, "So Christ is equipping and preparing His Christians to live and to suffer in this world. Every Christian should be ready at all times to take a stand by himself, if necessary, to confess his Lord and to represent his faith, always being armed against the world, the devil, and the sects, and whatever else may be lined up against him." Unquote. Were you and I to foolishly tear off those hand-me-downs and say, we don't want to wear those, then we would be forsaking our share in the family of God. Then we would be forsaking our promised inheritance in heaven. But now you and I can rejoice and be glad in the midst of the world not appreciating how we're dressed, because we have that assurance of our great reward in heaven. We have seen as our example the prophets. We have seen as our example those first disciples who, like Peter, when the Lord said, "Are you going to forsake me too?" answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We will suffer the disdain and the mockery and the persecution of the world who looks at us as foolish and weak and ugly. I hope you notice this is how Paul's words to the Corinthians in our second lesson fit together with our gospel. Because Paul was talking about the same thing. When God called us to be as Christians, not many of us were of noble birth, not many of us are wise by human standards, not many of us or any of us are really great in the eyes of the world. And yet the Lord has chosen us who are lowly, has chosen us who are humble and poor by His power, by His call, to put to shame the world, to put to shame those who reject us. He nullifies their attacks on us by the way that we are dressed and by the way we live for Christ. Here, early in His ministry, Jesus is acting as a true teacher of God's Word in His office as the perfect prophet. And as we sang in our sermon hymn, Blessed Jesus, at Your Word, we gather regularly like those disciples on that mountaintop to hear what He has to say. Because they're words of great blessing that He gives us by His compassion and His authority. Jesus vigorously opens His mouth to teach us, and we vigorously open our ears and by the Spirit open our hearts to hear what He says in the Beatitudes. We students of the Master, also His brothers and sisters, listen intently so that we don't become confused about our clothing as His disciples. Because His words mean this. It means that we are dressed in the very best, even if we're dressed in hand-me-downs. Amen.